This morning? I know I have a couple. We have a parents meeting for the youth tonight, or today, after the second service. It'll be brief, so we ask that you come. And then also tonight we have a progressive dinner. dinner for the youth, and we'll be having appetizers at the Turco House, supper at the Camus House, and then dessert at the Rosenberry House. So it'll be a good time.
Christmas baskets. We have delivered 2 out of 17. I'm assuming that the classes or the individuals or the families that took a basket, that you're going to deliver it. If not, let me know, and we'd like to know today so we could use this afternoon and tomorrow to get them delivered. And we've got, that's 15 to go, and we're actually 14 because I want to deliver one of the other ones. We found some people that were, we think, really in need yesterday, and it was good to be there, and they were so appreciative. Also, the service today is quite different, and as you open your bulletin, you'll see that. So just understand that this is our special Christmas presentation. I'll say early, we're thankful for the choir and their willingness to come to services today. The good thing about it, we fixed it so they wouldn't have to sit through the sermon twice. Now, why would they not want to do that? Y'all probably understand that, but I don't. But really, I do. So anyhow, that's our situation this morning. I think that's all the announcements that we need to make today. Thank you.
Are there any prayer requests or praise reports? Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank everyone for their prayers. The doctor just said it's nothing less than a miracle that he is still alive and he is home and doing well. They've actually already released him to drive again. Not working yet, probably won't for a while, but all his prayers could have done it. So thank you.
Laura is home. Answering the telephone, happy as she can be, I think.
Lauren Lindert.
Also, Melanie is home and answering the telephone, and doesn't sound as perky as Lauren did, Melanie's spouse. So, Melanie had a tumor removed from under her eye or behind her eye. Lauren had her feet operated on both of them at the same time. She'll be in a wheelchair for some time. So, just remember those that we put in for the good news concerning both of them. Mr. Frank Ball, I think we mentioned last week, he is home. He's been home about a week. B-A-U-G-H. He's been in the early service a number of weeks.
Yes, ma'am. I personally would like to keep all the families who are grieving and dealing with the loss of the loss of someone for the first holiday seasons. I know personally it's very tough, so just keep those families in your prayers this week. If there are no more, let's take this time for a time of silent prayer and the lighting of candles.
So favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.
And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Thank you.
but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Ring Christmas bells, ring them loud, with a message bringing peace on the earth, tidings of good cheer. Come carolers, come and join with the angels singing joy to the one. Christmas time is here.
Gather around and listen. You'll hear the sound of angels filling the sky, telling everyone Christmas time.
God, you are our Heavenly Father. We come this morning to acknowledge your fatherhood. We are your their children. Lord, we come thanking you that you have invited us to become your children twice. You created us, we rebelled. You invited us back through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this celebration of his coming to redeem us, to bring us back into fellowship with you. Lord, we pray for these tithes and offerings. We thank you that we are able to give to help someone else, give to help spread the gospel. And Lord, we pray that you would use and direct the use of these gifts to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and turn and wait. Throughout the normal year, we have children's time at 10:15. It's Advent season. We did not want to pass over the 8 o'clock hour worshipers. We feel that the Advent wreath may help us in some way in our preparation for the celebration of the coming of Jesus. We have chosen to use this or present these thoughts at the time of the normal children's time during when they come at 10:15. Four candles around the circle, four Sundays of Advent, four Sundays preceding Christmas, one candle, Christ candle, and what we will do today, since we will not be here on Christmas Day, we will also light the Christ candle and kind of jump ahead a little bit. The first candle was a candle of hope, and it started
generations before Jesus came, the Israelites were hoping for a Savior. There was some 400 years of no revelation or lack of revival, if you look at it that way, when it didn't seem that God was speaking to the people. Maybe he was speaking and they just were not listening. And you got to figure that one out if you need to. Many times God speaks and we do not listen. And the Israelites kept hoping and hoping. God came through the prophets to tell the people that he was going to send a Savior, a Redeemer. So the Israelites before Jesus, generations before, lived in much hope. The season of Christmas is a season of love. And I just think of one thought. Love came down at Christmas. God's love. God came to man, came to earth, because he loved. The third candle is the candle of joy. We sing often at Christmas or during Advent, joy to the world. And for many, Christmas is a time of joy, exuberation. But we need to also remember that everybody is not joyful during the Christmas season. We need to pray for these. Especially those who have lost loved ones in the past year, and they're celebrating what would normally be a time of joy with one person from their family absent. And so we need to be joyful that Christ has come, but also be thoughtful for those who are not experiencing joy. Also, the lack of joy comes from many people who are economically distressed. Is that a good way to put it? Family down the streets celebrating with joy and Santa's coming and all of that, and then this family here on the corner, there's no money for a good celebration. A happy celebration, and there's a bit of sadness there. Okay, and then we move to peace. The promise of the prophet Isaiah that when the Savior came, he would be called a Prince of Peace. And then we move to the New Testament and hear the angel speaking to the shepherds. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Christ came to earth for the benefit of mankind, you and I, people. He came to bring peace, and peace with the world is so elusive. There's been a few days of peace, but somewhere there's seemingly always been war, not only in our lives, but throughout history. But if we can know the peace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ, and we can have that peace. And then the Christ candle. God in the flesh. The invisible image. The visible image of the invisible God. And God bless you.
Now let us sing hymn 132. Angels, we have heard our song.
Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Read yourself this Christmas story, the story about the Christ coming to earth. Let's run through it once more. Luke 1:26-38 is the promise. But the promise, we've already said at the Advent wreath, the promise began a long time before this event where the angel came and made this promise to Mary. This was the promise of one who would redeem God's people. It came through the prophets. The prophets spoke as God spoke to them, even down to the place, the town, where Jesus, the Savior, would be born. You find it in the book of Micah. Bethlehem. The prophets also told of what Jesus would endure on behalf of his people, or for his people, for you, for me, for all of God's people. Also in this passage from Luke 1:26-38 is Mary's submission unto the Lord, or her submitting her life to God. Sometimes submission is a difficult experience. To say calf rope, to say, okay, God, your way. I'm willing to be used of you for your honor and glory. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Or to put it in the vernacular of today, it's whatever you say, Lord, I'm willing to do. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm willing to do. The next passage from Luke 39-56, we find Mary visiting Elizabeth, a relative. In Luke 1:41, I share these words. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 46. 56. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned home. I see in this experience family support. Every person that comes to Jesus does not receive support from their family. And when God calls an individual to do something extraordinary for him, the family really gets beside themselves. It happened with Jesus. His family thought he was a little crazy. They came once when he was preaching to take him home. I guess to put him in the back room where nobody could see him. That's what people used to do with their family members who were different. But God calls us to do extraordinary things. And if he calls you, or when he calls you, your family may say, well, you've got to be crazy. But it didn't happen with Elizabeth and Mary. Mary found family support in this event that would not be received very well in the community. Read the story. A single girl with child is more common today than it ought to be. It was very uncommon then, or we believe it was. Then we move to Mary's song, or back up, 46-49. And Mary just, her heart seemingly just overflows with trust and faith and understanding about God. And we believe that Mary to be, theologians believe, Bible scholars, a young woman in her teens. But she knew the scripture. And she quoted the scripture, the Old Testament, here in the psalm. She could not have done that unless she had studied the scriptures. Teenagers, young people, learn the scripture. You'll know what God's plan is for you. And then we move to Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, the angel dealing with Joseph. The passage began with, "This is how the birth of Jesus came about." In this passage, we see Joseph experiencing and expressing, at least to the angel, much fear, many doubts. What would they say about him? You mean he was going to marry this girl who was carrying a child who wasn't his? That's just one aspect of his fears and doubts. But as we've already said about Mary, when she was about to do something great for God or submitted her life to the kingdom of God and the work here on earth, fears and doubts come with attempting something great for God. And you will make the attempt, overcome the fear, and you will take a few steps or even a few years, and then something comes up to cause you to fear. Can I go on? Can I go on? Can I go on? Moses was called to do something great for God. He was called to lead the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt to the promised land. And the fears that we find in the story of Moses, read Exodus again if you will, and see the fears and the arguments that Moses put up concerning his inability to lead these people and inability to go before the Pharaoh. The Israelites, as they traveled through the desert under the leadership of Moses, oh, they were so fearful. What are we going to do now? And it was seemingly, though there were 600,000 of them or more, 600,000 men, it says, maybe 1.5 million plus, they would seemingly cower and run from those who came against them. And then the 10 spies, one great example, the 10 spies that Moses, the 12 spies that Moses sent out to explore the promised land, and that they were going into, that they were going to inhabit. 12 came back and 10 of them said, "We can't do it. We're not big enough. Those are big giants over there. We'll be wiped out." But Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do it. We can do it." And Joshua got to be the one who replaced Moses when he passed from this life. And Matthew 1:23 says that all of this that happened to Jesus, that happened through Mary and Joseph, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. So Matthew reminds us, as I've tried to follow his example this morning, nothing new for me, that the announcement to Mary wasn't, the promise to Mary wasn't the first promise, or the announcement to Mary wasn't the first time that the Savior had been announced or promised. He goes back. It came through the prophets. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 10. How does that fit in Christmas? Well, it's saying that this Jesus who comes is not like the sacrifice that was offered upon the altar. The Hebrew writer trying to explain to the Hebrew people who would know all about sacrifices upon the altar, bulls and rams and also vegetables or meal upon the altar. And he was trying to say that, and he repeated himself, you notice there, but he is explaining Jesus coming as a true sacrifice for the sins of the people of the world, or the true sacrifice for my sin and your sin, paying for it. And then we move to Luke's account of the birth of Jesus in chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 20 of Luke. Christmas is incarnation. God incarnate in a human body in the person of Jesus. Colossians 1:15, the contemporary English version, Christ is exactly like God who cannot be seen. Or in the American Standard Version, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. In the church down the street, if you're come in from the south, the visible image of the invisible God. Matthew 1:23, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do we comprehend what it is to have God with us? I'm not sure that we can comprehend. I'm not sure that our mind will allow us to comprehend God and God with us. But we just stand in awe, and it's much, much mystery. Jesus came as our example. He serves as our example of how we should live. He is the example for saved people to follow, Christian people to follow. Many people like to say that Jesus is the example for us in living our Christian life. But John Mathis says that he's greater than that. He's greater than just the example of us living our Christian life. He is the example of how we should live all of our life. Life at church. Life when in the presence of fellow Christians. But life when we're out in the world also. How we should live life when we are amongst a bunch of non-Christians. When we're at the workplace where most of the people are not Christian. This is what Paul was exclaiming in his letter to the Philippians. He says we should have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to be our example. But more than that, Jesus came to be our Savior. We must never forget that He is much more than an example for us to follow. He is our Savior. Oh, it's so important to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. But it's also important, more important, to celebrate the reason for His coming. That God entered into the world to bring about the salvation of humanity. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will give birth to a son. Mary will. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's why he came. That's why we remember. That's why we celebrate. A great mystery. Someone put it, I think John Mathis said, God did not have come into the world to bring about salvation, but he chose to. He chose to come into the world to bring about our salvation. God, who is Spirit, putting on a human body and coming to earth and dying for us and then rising to new life, overcoming our sin, overcoming death, the penalty of sin. Choir was singing, where did He come from? He come from the glory. And He is God with us. Amen. And amen. 147 is the psalm. Remain seated if you would like. 147.
two things. Rocky Glade Church, 41A South, Rocky Glade Road. 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock, a repeat, their Christmas program tonight, 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Also, Christmas Eve communion, be Thursday night, that's Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve communion, Thursday night, and I believe that the note in the bulletin kind of explains it. Be here anytime between 5 and 7, I'll be here, communion will be prepared, and if you need another time, if you can't make it between 5 and 7, talk to me and we will schedule another time for you. Lord God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can have this time of celebration, remembrance, rejoicing. Thank you for this hour. Use it for your glory and honor. In Christ's name, amen.